Joining us now is Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, and this is a wonderful opportunity to explore a fascinating new book. It is titled The Truth, I Am 10, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything. I love that title. Brand new book, Dr. Barbara, so I've got to ask, who's this book for?
What a wonderful question, Tony. It is for any woman or grandmother or kid. It really is universal, but I am targeting those women who have a girl in their family or a granddaughter, because I'm trying to help women not only communicate more successfully with their children, their grandchildren, their nieces, their nephews, but also helping women to get back to the absolute life and vitality, the sense of wonder and wisdom that this little girl has. She knows what she knows, and if we all had her energy and fire, the world would be a completely different place.
I love that. Wonder and wisdom. Beautifully phrased.
Yes, and that's what she has, and that's what we had at one point. Boys had it probably in different ways than girls. I'm focusing on girls and women. They are my specialty. And we do know that girls between 10 and 11 have a tremendous sense of wonder and wisdom that passes through them and gets them full of life and feeling competent and feeling ambition and having a lot of skills, and that this does deteriorate and go underground in adolescence. So it's a very fragile but beautiful commodity, and as women later in life, if we can get back to it, we will fight off depression, we will have more energy for our own projects and our own pleasures, and we will also understand generationally what our kids go through. One of the problems is that we block off childhood once we're no longer there, and we almost need, you know, that canary in the cave to remind us, and this little girl is clearly reminding us about what it's like to be a child and to have wisdom and smarts.
Well, yeah, and I guess, you know, I think an appropriate question here is, so why did you write positive psychology in this form? I guess a two-part question, and then why fiction?
Well, I think that we all need to be stirred up. And you know that little Geico animal?
Yes.
You know, people watch him and people listen to him. And if it were just some professional sitting at a desk and saying on TV, let me quote you Geico rates, I don't think there would be as much attention paid to that person. We've had self-help books down, you know, just up the wazoo constantly, constantly, constantly. We have tons of psychologists and coaches and sociologists and social workers, mentors, all sorts of people who know a lot of truths and they're trying to get them across. And after a while, it's like one big maze and jumble. And I feel that this girl cuts through all of that. And like The Little Prince, which was a book out years ago, a French book translated, and most people have read it if they're over 30, where this little prince is found on a desert island of some sort and speaks all sorts of wisdom, this little book cuts through our society, and she is able to say all the things that we forget. We've got these big gorillas in our living rooms, and we're not even noticing. Something as simple as she says, my cousin came over, and he swore on and off all day, and I hated it. And it made me feel icky inside, and there was nothing that he had to say that he couldn't have said without swearing. And why did my parents not say something to him? Well, we don't know why. Maybe they were afraid to or whatever, but the point is, this kid knows that swearing is an extra layer on our language that we now have accepted as almost common chat, and it doesn't really serve a purpose, and it lowers our everything. It makes you feel, as she says, icky. But who else is going to say it?
Well, again, the truth, I'm 10, I'm smart, and I know everything. Let me ask you, you started to talk a little bit there about messages. What are some of the messages in this delightful new book?
Some of the messages are that the true organic messages are things like don't swear if you don't have to, don't have family fights around nonsense, mothers and daddies don't have fights where you put each other down and criticize each other over silly things that you both decide are really important, but they're not so important. You know, don't be mean to each other. Don't be a bratty, bossy kid on the playground or in the neighborhood. All of these simple messages are things that at one point or another most of us came home crying and concerned about ourselves as children, but again, now we just sit with the gorilla and offer him a Diet Pepsi. And she reminds us that it is fun to have fun, that you don't have to just be bored. You can always think of a project and do something. For example, she's caught home in the summer without any real camp to go to, and she and her girlfriend start a reading club, and they have all sorts of fun at each other's homes, and they know what to do because they try. And in terms of relating to your children, she makes a lot of points that if parents would just listen, and she says, you know, I get so angry when my mother is pretending to listen, but her eyes are really sort of not focusing. I know she's thinking about other things, and she's just, Well, we've all done that as parents, and it's not the most wholesome thing to do to your kid. It really isn't, because there's no authentic exchange that happens. And this is another thing that she reminds and teaches us about. And then she teaches us very simple things like, you know, what are you going to do around sex education as far as in the house? I mean, obviously, in today's world, it's handled in the schools most of the time, but that doesn't mean that the parents don't have to know what they're doing. And she finds some things in her parents' bedroom, and again, there isn't really, no one has the courage to really have a discussion with her. And that's a problem, and that's a problem. She finally gets corrected by girlfriends, but I think she would have preferred it was corrected by her mother. I could go on and on. She's, you know, just as complex as all our own kids.
Absolutely. Tell us about the girl. I mean, we've been talking about this 10-year-old. Who is she? Tell us about her.
Well, she has blondish brown hair, and she likes to examine herself in the mirror. And she lives in a family with a brother who's a brat, you know, who's about 6 or 7. She herself runs from 10 to 11 and a half. And she is very capable of falling in love, and she has fallen in love with a boy who doesn't seem to recognize that falling in love has much meaning, which is very disturbing to her. And her father is considering a new job. They may be moving, and that has all sorts of issues. And her parents fight a lot, and fortunately she has some wonderful grandparents who know how to make her feel good even when she gets an awful haircut and her bangs are all slanted and a mess. They still love her. And in many ways, she's everyone's kid. You know, she's not the point of the book and the sequels that will follow and take her as she grows up are not to give her an exact identity that's so complete that takes your mind off of many of her messages and insights that have, you may disagree and you may say, I never felt like that as a kid, but she's going to make you lie awake in bed and wonder, well, how did I feel? You know, the kid in the book, in the truth, wanted a pet more than anything else in the world, and I didn't, but what did I want at that age? And it's going to start you thinking.
Yeah, you know, an opportunity really for a journey backward, if you will, Dr. Barbara.
It's a journey backward that hopefully will lead you forward, and you will be more compassionate to your kids as well as yourself, because it will remind you also of the fun that can be had in life. Her parents do very simple things for fun. One of the things they love to do is take mystery rides. And they just get in the car, and everyone has to close their eyes except the driver. And they end up somewhere that's a mystery. And, you know, this book is set a little bit in the past. It is somewhere in the 50s, 60s, and it's not today, which gives it also a value, because I doubt there are many families today that get in the car on a Sunday and have something like a mystery ride and end up at an ice cream place. Something so simple, so innocent, so wholesome, and why not?
And you're right, and why not? Why no name? We keep saying her, her, her.
Right.
Why no name?
Well, this is a very special girl, and of course, in real life and in everyday living, our names are very important, but maybe there's going to be many reasons why she doesn't have a name. This book will also come out in an edition for girls, and it will have in it some things that are not in the adult edition, like some poems she's written, some drawings she's done, some fun things. And it may well lead to a contest to give her a name or to identify with her and tell your story and how you're like her or not like her. And maybe she'll end up the character in a play or, who knows, maybe a movie. And we don't want to have everything so set in stone right at the moment. This is a girl that's coming back. She's not leaving you. You're not going to be able to shut the door on her. She's going to keep coming back and let her grow and emerge just as our own kids did.
Wonderful. What is this little thing we've got going on with Nancy Drew?
Well, Nancy Drew is a very important icon figure to girls, particularly in that 9 to 11, 12-year-old range. Girls are so aware of their own brilliance and their own ability to solve things. I mean, there are kids 9 years old that are running households, unfortunately, usually because a parent is ill or alcoholic or something. But there's a lot of competency there. And they love identifying with Nancy Drew, who is tremendously competent and knows how to solve mysteries and is good-natured, and yet she's not all tied in. Even though she's a teenager, she's 15 or 16, in the books, she's not tied into her makeup and sexy clothes and running off with her boyfriend. No, her boyfriend, it's okay, she'll keep the boyfriend. They go out occasionally, or he helps her solve a mystery. But he's not going to take away her brains and what she's doing. And that's a very important figure for girls. And then, again, as I said, in adolescence, in our culture, most girls lose that sense of the icon figure of the very competent, integrated kid or woman or teenager, and they move toward the starlet. They want to be like the celebrity. They want to, you know, have their bosoms just like the celebrities and their makeup and their short little skirts or whatever is a fad. And although there's nothing wrong with some of that modeling and mentoring too, it skews the girl away from herself internally and much more externally focused, which is not healthy.
Tell us, why are lockets so important to girls and women? And obviously we're teasing people with some of this information,
right?
So to really get it, they're going to have to get the book. We're going to tell them how to do that in just a minute.
Yes. Well, lockets, first of all, the heart shape, and women always associate themselves with having big hearts and loving the heart. And secondly, a locket opens and there's secrets inside. You can have your picture. You could have other things. You can have a strand of hair from someone you love. You can have messages. You can have a bit of a love note. You can have whatever you want because it's your secret. It's in that locket. And somehow the combination of the heart image combined with the potential for a secret is a great metaphor for girls and women, and we've always been attracted to lockets all through history. And guess what? A locket plays a very significant part in this book, a critical part.
And we're not going to give away any secrets.
No.
No secrets here. So where does the girl go from here, Dr. Barbara?
Well, I'm almost through with my second volume. And the girl in the second volume, of course, keeps getting older, so the 11 and a half to almost 14. And she goes through many other stages. I will tell you that she's no longer in love with this particular fellow, and also that she's in love with someone else. So someone replaces him, and she has moved. They do move. And there are all sorts of adjustments and all sorts of problems and things that happen. There's a relative that dies and the first dealings with death and religion. And she moves away also from some of her attraction to Nancy Drew. She is doing the developmental curve that we all have done to some extent, but with humor and evocative messages for all of us. And it's still pouring out of me, so I guess this girl is really on the run. She really wants to get out there.
Well, obviously, Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, you have a vast library of titles at this point. Where do you, now you've given us a little idea of where she goes from here. Where do you go from here?
Well, I am accompanying this girl on her journey of growing up, and I, as I said, I predict, and I'm already imagining at least 4 or 5 volumes into young womanhood. And I would like to, my dream is that she will become a movie, she'll become a play, she will really find a way to help this country through a delightful way of speaking and being that, like the Geico image again, that little animal is not really an irritant. It's just a way of saying, look, I'm here in a different form so that we can notice important things again. And, of course, I have my practice and I have my other books and my website and my blog and all the things that I'm doing. But sometimes we take on a particular guest into our lives, and that person becomes very important, and the little girl is very important.
Well, and you sound like a mother right now. let's talk a little bit about, again, the name of the book, The Truth, I'm 10, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything. Where is it going to be available?
Well, it is available around the world. If you ask in any Barnes & Noble or Borders, they will order it. They may not have it, but they'll order it. More easily, you can order it on my web, my website, enchantedself.com, enchantedself, oneword.com, of course, Amazon, and, of course, other sites will carry it. But you can always fall back to either Amazon or Enchant Itself, and also Ladybug Live.
Well, it's sounds...
I'm sorry, I got the title wrong. Ladybug Books.
Ladybug Books. Well, it sounds like a fascinating beginning to a maturation process that are probably going to have people going, when's the next one coming? Be patient. They're all going to arrive when they need to, just like this young lady. Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, again, thank you so much. The title of the book, The Truth, I'm 10, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything, again, will be available at Barnes & Noble, at Borders, and at Amazon.com, and, of course, at EnchantedSelf.com. www.thebetterhealthcare.com. Dr. Barbara Becker Holstein, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I appreciate this time to be with you, Tony. Bye for now.